So let's make that clear, because I know the King James does say obedient unto death, but Mr. Darby makes it clear. It's obedient even unto death, which is different. Because obedient unto death would mean that he came under the submissiveness of this tyrant called death. But he did not. It is obedience that led him up to the point of death. Obedience that brought him to that point. It's the oblation, the meal offering. You mentioned that before. In his life, he was absolutely obedient. He learned it through the experiences that he had. But death now was somewhat of the sin offering aspect. He went into it willingly to put it away. But it was a matter of being obedient up to that point of death.
Could we also say simply that he was obedient in everything throughout life, even the ultimate is death?
That brought him up to the ultimate.
Well, morning by morning, it was such a blessed one. But the thought of, let's not stop up to there. Because the scripture highlights even the death of the cross.
Yes, we have to go to that.
This means that the Lord Jesus, not only his obedience that will bring him up to death, but the willingness of this blessed one to endure the worst aspect of putting a man into death.
Yes. Which is the matter of the curse.
Of the cross.
But a curse is associated with the cross, because cursed is the man who is hung on the cross or the tree.
So let me ask you this now. This is given to us, for us, he's the example. So the challenge for us is that by the grace of God, we need to be obedient in every area of our lives. That's basically what the Spirit of God is bringing before us, brings Christ before us. And the ultimate is that you and I need to be exercised to be obedient in every step of our lives.
I think that takes us back to the opening expression, let this mind be in you.
But the thing here, this has nothing to do with our sins. It's nothing that of course it's encompassed that, but in this portion here, it's just a pure obedience that would lead him all the way. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. It was just a simple obedience, the delight of God to see him in there and going. That's why it is really a meal offering all the way around, going up over it on the altar. Of course, it's always connected with the burnt offering and with the drink offering. But right there, everything just for the delight of the heart of God. Has nothing to do with there was a sin to atone for or not. Also, it was part of the work on the cross anyway. But in that section, it is just simply his obedience even to the death of the cross.
So can I?
Somebody can say, okay, we got it. This is the Lord Jesus. He is God. We got that. We got it. He's perfect God. He's perfect man. But I am a sinful creature. How can I, in some way, be like him? Practically, how can I, because that's what I believe the Spirit of God wants. He wants us to be more like him. So how can I, as a young person, how can I become more obedient? And to be like him, what can I do? What should I be doing? How can I become more like him?
I just want to make a comment to bring us to this, if you will. I'm going to take it a step further than Brother Amel said. That also it encompasses the other aspects of his work. I'm going to leave these things on the side. Because the message of Philippians 2 is not for unbelievers.
No.
The sins have been dealt. Mm-hmm. The work has been dealt. Mm-hmm. It is a matter of attitude that the believer should have. Mm-hmm. And that attitude is the mind of Christ. So what is he telling the brethren? So we're going to come to the exhortation. Telling the brethren that first of all, don't draw attention to yourself. That's what Christ is. Mm-hmm. Second of all, serve your brethren. Love them. Because he's the form of a servant. He served the brethren. Certainly, He went into death. He was willing to lay down his life. That's the course of obedience. Because at the end of Philippians, the Apostle Paul was trying to bring the conclusion to have the same mind. Or how to deal with my brethren. So even to love the brethren and do what? Lay your life for them. This is the examples that I'm learning from. So how could I become? Well, let me say this. God does not have a lower standard than Christ. That's, if I understand the principle, then I think practically we will come to it. So as a Christian, don't fool yourself and say, well, Christ is this, I cannot attain. Well, I dare to say that God does not have a lower standard for the Christian than Christ himself. And Christ will never ask us to do something that we're not capable of doing. So how could I do it? How could I be like Christ? How could I love like Christ? How could I have the mind of Christ? Well, first of all, we're indwelt by the Spirit of God. A divine person is able from within me to reproduce Christ in my life. In a practical way, let's face it, I always learned it, and I think other brethren will agree with it. How could I be more and more like Christ? You're not going to be more like and more like him if you're not reading the scriptures. I find it hard. I don't know. Unless brethren have a different formula or a medicine you take, share it. I don't know. If you're not reading the scripture, it's going to be very hard to be like Christ. If you're not praying as a believer, it's going to be extremely hard to be like Christ. So the two practical things that I could at least throw before us all, that the only way in a practical way as a Christian to be like Christ is really to be in prayer before God and to allow God to form me like Christ by reading the scripture. Because brethren, God has only this standard of you and I being like his, the Lord Jesus.
There are two things I notice here. In this passage, when he says, made himself of, in verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. While we are exhorted, we are told to have this mind of Christ, but we cannot follow Christ to the cross. What he is doing here is, he humbled himself to the will of God, to accomplish the will of God in his death on the cross. Now, we cannot say that, okay, so the apostle is saying that we have to have this mind, so can I go to the cross? We cannot. These are the things he's suffering under the judgment of God for sin. But in contrast, there is one, in 1 Peter chapter 2, we have here, verse 21 onwards, there he says, for even hereunto were he called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that he should follow his steps. See, here we are told to follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Here we are to follow Christ in his footsteps, because here he was suffering at the hands of unjust men, sufferings at the hands of evil men. But here we have in Philippians 2, he was obedient unto the will of God in accomplishing the will of God in the cross.